Hello, I'm your host, Erin Gruwell, and welcome to the Freedom Writers Podcast. Today's show features my conversation with three student authors from our new book, Dear Freedom Writer: Zoe, who we affectionately call Z, Jeremiah, and Robert Brown Jr. We are also joined by their parents, Freedom Writer teachers, and a school administrator for a lively discussion about the book writing process, the pride of seeing their students become published authors, and the lessons we hope Dear Freedom Writer gives readers. This episode is a lighthearted look into the minds of our amazing student authors and those they hold dear. And I hope it will leave you feeling enlightened and empowered to make a difference. When the Freedom Writers' Diary was originally published in 1999, neither the Freedom Writers nor I could have imagined the journey we would take thanks to what we called our little book that could. From concept to completion, during a pandemic no less, I'm elated to announce that our new book, Dear Freedom Writer, is available for purchase starting today, March 29th, 2022, wherever books are sold. I'm so excited for the book's global audience to read these heartfelt stories shared by the next generation of Freedom Writer authors. When I first met this amazing group of students and their incredible Freedom Writer teachers, I knew that whatever we created together was going to be special. However, I never could have imagined the spirit, the grit, and the power that these student authors showed. Today, we celebrate the 50 new voices that join the Freedom Writers canon and reflect on their incredible achievements. There are 50 new voices, new faces, and new authors joining our ranks, and the Freedom Writers and I are thrilled to have collaborated with them on this project of passion. Without further ado, here is my conversation with three spectacular student authors of Dear Freedom Writer and their champions who celebrate them. Jeremiah, you and your best friend, Robert Brown Jr., were selected first and foremost when you were sixth graders to be docents for the Anne Frank traveling experience. And then we came back and met you in seventh grade in our online Zoom. And in that seventh grade experience, you guys stepped up and really became these class leaders. So it was a no-brainer for us to say, do you want to be involved in Dear Freedom Writer? What was it like to be asked and selected to be a part of this book?
It was really like nerve-wracking at first, but it was really like a moment for me to be able to show people that there's like another side of me that's really good and not that bad.
Robert Brown Jr., you are an author, and today was the first time you got to actually hold this book. What does it feel like to hold a book knowing that you're in it and you are an author?
When we were in the library, seeing the book and like knowing that I'm in it, at first it was a lot to take in, but now it's like, wow, I'm in a book and I've accomplished something good.
You know, it was profound that we were actually in your library at Mountain View School this morning because we were surrounded by a group of sixth graders who were the same age that I met you. And now you're an eighth grader, and I think you have a lot of wisdom to pass down. So what is some of that wisdom that you could pass down to people who are younger than you?
If you want to be an author, like, never give up on what you want to be and always be positive.
Jeremiah, you also are an author. Z's an author. And what does that feel like? You are going to be in schools, libraries, and homes.
To me, it feels like a dream. Sometimes it feels like you're not going to do it, but when I heard that it was officially going to come out, I was jumping around excited. When you told me that the board, you know, was able to get me to go, after the meeting, I left, and I was sitting next to my little cousin. I was just crying. I told her. She was like, what are you crying for? I was like, happy thoughts. I'm like, I'm doing something that's going to benefit you. You're going to be able to go out in the world and do it so you can show your talent, show your shine.
Susie, we want to speak to you so that you could speak to others. You were one of 50 storytellers from around the globe. And you got to meet kids from Rwanda and India and Greenland and throughout the United States. And you were chosen, wanted, and selected for a story that had to be told. How does that feel?
At first, I didn't believe it until you actually told me. And so I remember Ashish and I were texting each other, like, what? This is crazy. And I remember telling my mom, too, and she, stood there for a moment in shock. And then, she was crying, and she hugged me. She was saying, I'm so proud of you. And it's, in that moment, I felt proud of myself. It feels like it's totally different when it comes from you. I've been following the Freedom Writers universe for quite a long time now. And, to hear that I was finally in it blew my mind. It's now I'm a part of this obsession of mine.
Okay, we're obsessed with you too.
So I'm so happy. I still am. Even if it's over a year, I'm still so happy.
So for our listeners, I have to be honest, we're sitting here talking about a book that is coming into existence. And I have to be honest, I don't think we could have done it without the two amazing educators, Mr. Jorgensen at a middle school, Mr. Munoz at a high school, because what we tried to do with your two groups of students is exactly what we did in Zoom 203 for Dear Freedom Writer. And I think for both of you, you went through our teacher training. So you've had that highly emotive experience where you've been in small groups with the actual original Freedom Writers. You've laughed hysterically. You've cried hysterically. I think our fear was, can we recreate what we do in person in this space? Can we do it online? Can it be as emotional? So, Johnny, you've been to multiple Freedom Writer teacher training. You've come back as a returning teacher. And I think you and I expressed, can we have that same emotional content on a screen in a box? And we did. So how do we manage to break that fourth wall and allow your high school students to be tender and transparent?
I believe it started when the documentary was shown to my student leaders, and I expressed to them, we're going to take this Freedom Writer journey with Erin Gruel and some of her students, her former students, and the staff of the Freedom Writer Foundation. So once we showed the documentary to the students, they understood the challenge that was going to be ahead. So I think we owe it to the student leaders that took that challenge and stepped up to the plate.
Mr. Jorgensen, there are two young authors that you have been mentoring, nurturing, and teaching since they were in sixth grade, and they are now in the eighth grade. Going back to sixth grade, at 11 years old, they were chosen out of an entire middle school to be one of 11 docents for the Anne Frank traveling exhibit. And these two sixth graders were docents for the entire school. I think there's 1,000 kids at your school.
Yeah, 1,300 actually.
1,300 kids. So at 11 years old, to be chosen to be a docent, a museum docent, what was that like for you to say these two gentlemen, who are the best of friends, should be tour guides for something as meaningful and moving as Anne Frank's legacy?
Well, the first thing was I saw in them the interest and the desire. They were very engaged with what Freedom Writers could provide them, and they really showed the interest.
Johnny, you had this daunting task of taking a student body president, a student body vice president, who I'm sitting beside, and saying, we might have to cancel prom. We might have to cancel homecoming. And in fact, you had to. So as somebody who spends an entire year nurturing leaders, how do you break that news to a group of kids in March of 2020 that life as we know it is not going to return?
I knew the new officers that were coming in were in for a challenge. We were told we weren't coming back for the rest of the year. So that meant our prom was canceled, our grad night was canceled, our graduation was canceled. And part of my job as ASB director is we do activities. We do in-person activities, and that wasn't going to happen. So we had to reach out to the district office to send my student leaders to virtual conferences. And it was those summer conferences that we did in a virtual world that they learned how to do events through social media, through Zoom. So our in-person activities turned into a virtual activity world that we had to learn along the way and our journey through it. It wasn't easy, but these leaders came through and they learned from other schools. They learned how to work Zoom. In fact, I think they taught me how to work Zoom because I was completely lost. So I had every confidence in these student leaders. They did an amazing job connecting the student body and the community of Vista Del Lago through a virtual world.
As teachers, when you now can stand in front of your new students and say, I'm the teacher of a published author. We just got the book. We're sitting down for this podcast. And what is it like to feel and touch and see this book and also be able to tell your students that, you know, my high school students or my middle school students are published authors? What does that feel like as an educator?
I don't know there's words for it. I'm extremely proud of both my students that are in the book. Maybe when I have it, a hard copy, when I purchase that, and it's in my hand, so it'll hit me then that this is actually real.
It's real because I'm sitting beside you is a proud mother who was weeping. I think your heart is going to leap out of your chest, as it should. So talk about what that feels like to know that your daughter is going to go off to college soon, and she has a legacy.
I think saying that I'm proud is probably an understatement. I think that she is very strong and inspirational to be able to put all of that on paper or in print. She's a mountain mover. She's a roof shaker. I don't really believe in luck, but I still feel like I'm the lucky one, you know, that I get to have her.
Robert and Jeremiah both. I'm sitting by your mom, Jeremiah. Now I'm crying, and I think she's crying too. Both you gentlemen, you wrote about some tough subjects, bullying. You wrote about racism, and these are real factors in America, in the world, in 2022. So what was that like to write about something that was so real, and no one censored you, no one told you what or how to write, but you were able to write what needed to be written?
Me and Robert, you know, like, we actually had an idea together. Like, one day, me and you're going to go to the NBA together. I was like, yeah, we're going to go to the NBA together one day. And then now that me and him grew up together, like, spent most of our whole life together, he's been my day one. He's been there for me through my ups and downs. And I can't say nothing else but, like, thank you to him. And writing about racism was, like, a tough subject because when we lost George Floyd, that wasn't really, something for me to really talk about. But when I started talking about it, everybody wanted to know the reason why. I felt bad for his daughter. When this book comes out, I want her to read that when her dad passed, he wanted to know that he loved her and he didn't want to go out like that.
You know, your story is a story about love because your story pays homage to your mom. Your story pays homage to your little sister. You want to shield her from that racism. You want to shield her from that bullying. So I think as a young middle school young male, you feel very protective of the ladies of your life. So can you talk about that feeling very protective and strong to take care of your grandma, your mom, and your little sister?
Well, since I was born, I always wanted to always be by my mom. I never told her that wherever you go, I'm gonna go. Like, one part of your heart is with me, and I tell her every day I love you. I always give her a hug and a kiss and tell her thank you for everything that she's done. And it's like if I have, like, my cousins or any of my aunties around me, I'm always show them love and let them know that you're not alone and I feel your pain.
Robert Brown Jr. I love to say that combination because I also love to acknowledge Robert Brown Sr. And sweetheart, your story was hard for me to read because you admitted that you were so scared sometimes when your dad is not with you. You know, we live in a world with stereotypes and racial profiling. So you went to a place as a young man that was really bold, honoring your dad's strength, but also showing the vulnerability of how important it is for your dad to come home. So what was that like for you to, like Jeremiah, tackle racism in such a real way?
Well, for me, it was like since, like, Jeremiah, he's been my best friend since, like, third grade, and we both get to write about some things that we don't want happening, such as Jeremiah, like, losing his mom or losing his sister and how he loves them. For me, it's, like, how I wrote about my dad. It's, like, some people don't have their dad, so sometimes they're, like, down and stuff because, you know, and... like, I have my dad, and I don't want to lose my dad, so I just, like, wanted it to be known that I love my dad.
Mm. And known you did. It built him up. It honored him. So your dad's going to listen to this, and he's going to share it with his friends. What would you like to say to your dad so that when he reads the book, whatever wasn't in that story, you could tell him now?
If it wasn't for him and my mom, I wouldn't be where I am right now. My name is Robert Tomoweyusi Brown Jr., and I'm glad that my name could be Jr. to his. I'm a mini him, basically.
See, you had the privilege of mentoring both Jeremiah and Robert in the middle of a pandemic, which led to this amazing book project. So sitting beside them as a published author, can you see how they've grown and see how they've matured?
I can. You know, it's different when you guys are on screen. And also, like, we can't really converse with each other, and it's different with, like, the mannerisms we use. But, in, like, in person and seeing you guys, like, not only have you physically grown, but you've met, like, emotionally, mentally grown. And talking about your struggles is not easy. So that's like a mature thing to do with anybody, in fact. It's growing just in life.
So, Z, you wrote about something that happened when you were a kid that when I read it, I was so disturbed that an adult, someone with power, could make a child feel the way this adult made you feel. And so what was that like to write about it and come out the other side?
In all honesty, there was a point in writing it where I had to take, like, a four-month break because it just brought up, like, a lot of stuff. It was horrible for me, but in a sense, I kind of didn't say, like, oh, I have to get over it. It just came over me that I'm writing this not just for myself, but for other people that are going through the same exact thing as me. And so when I think back about that moment, it's like I'm kind of grateful because I think it helped me accept who I am sooner instead of later.
And I think so many listeners don't know who they are. Maybe they are not living their authentic lives. They're not in a place where they should be. So what would you tell a listener who could get to the place that you are, where you love yourself and you're proud of yourself and you walked in this morning and you just got accepted to your dream college? I mean, that's amazing. So you're at the place that you should be. What would you tell someone who's not quite there yet?
It really does come with time and just learning how you are and how you're going to flow through this world. It took a long time for me, quite a while. There's a period of time where I just kind of think shut down, like socially. I just didn't say anything even to my family. Also comes a lot with just how people are in a society. It really depends on where you are. Just make sure you're safe, and it comes with time.
Fred and Johnny, when we started this, it was a very ambitious project, and I don't think we knew at Freedom Writers headquarters. I know you guys didn't know, and I know the kids didn't know. It was kind of a leap of faith that we're going to try this and see if it works. So when you see these young storytellers, and they're so poised and profound, as educators, it makes our profession that much better, doesn't it? So what is it like as educators knowing that for both of you, you were so instrumental in the creation of this book, but both of you nurtured two storytellers apiece? That's pretty amazing around the globe, that you both were so instrumental in finding very different storytellers, but two of your kids collectively are in this book. So how does that feel?
Well, it feels pretty amazing because, first off, they're two great young men who I can see have a tremendous future. And I think in seeing that quality in them is part of it, number one. And then they just embraced the whole thing. They really did. They absolutely showed the interest in it. And albeit, was their writing a little rough in the beginning? Yes, it was. However, they stuck with it and really have shown tremendous commitment. So it's pretty amazing.
Before we go to Johnny, I want to piggyback on that because Robert Brown Jr. stood in front of a multi-purpose room of students. And I asked him point blank, Robert, how many times did you write and rewrite and write again your story? And he said, it felt like 30. And the English teacher in me squealed and did a happy dance because that's what we want is our kids to write draft after draft. And you're an English teacher as well. So when he said 30 times, how did that feel that your other kids got to hear that, that this had some elbow grease and some grit?
Totally amazing because I know Robert, because he was so engaged in what he was doing, that's what compelled him to continue to write and rewrite. And I shared this with my other students as examples of, look, everybody has that potential. And it just showed that he was so engaged because he got to write about something very personal to him that he was very knowledgeable of and really saw had the commitment to succeed.
Johnny, for your two students, they both ended up writing an assignment in our class that ended up getting adapted for the book. They're brilliant writers. They're brilliant storytellers. But we saw something in their original stories that wasn't going to be graded and wasn't even for the book that was so incredible that we sat down with you and thought, oh, my God, if we build on this and every single one of the student writers has a story of this caliber, we're onto something. So how did you know with both Ashish and Z that we might be onto something?
As an ASB director, you're privileged to have student leaders for 2, 3, 4 years. With my two, I have them for 4 years. So with those 4 years, you get to build relationships that are stronger than the teacher-student. Sometimes you're a parent to them, you know, you're a counselor to them. So you get to know their stories. The words from both stories hit home with me. A lot of what I wanted to scream out to the world that I kept hidden for so long were written in Z's story. So some of her words really touched to the heart. That I experienced that, I know, and I finally have someone to tell it to the entire world. And with the other story, I lived it. I know what it's like to be here in this country poor. I know what it's like to want and settle for less. So with both Ashish and Z, I've had the privilege of knowing them 4 years. And then I knew them that much more stronger when I read their stories and this journey that we took together that started a year ago. And I was like, now I know them even that much more. And couldn't be more proud of them and the experience with them and that taking that journey with them and telling them to push harder and to write more and go deep into their stories was an experience that I will treasure for the rest of my life. They're my kids.
As educators, we didn't have the safe spaces that you have provided for your kids or the safe spaces that we provided in this book project. So I love, Johnny, that you got to live vicariously through your student writers because they were unflinchingly honest. They, like, bared their soul. And they went backwards to go forward. I think both Z and Ashish started with Tales of Elementary School when things weren't right and things weren't normal. So for you, when you're seeing a young Johnny before you were an established educator and you're reading Tales of Elementary School and middle school and finally they're in high school and they can be who they were always supposed to be, how did that feel? And are you kind of envious? Like, oh, I wish I, when I was in high school, could have found my voice the way they did.
I'm not sure it was envious. I was more happy for them that they're in a more accepting world right now. I tell Z and some of my other students who ask me that my life wasn't easy back in those days. You have that support now, and I want them to be who they are, you know, and not be ashamed of it because this is who we are. This is your life. You only get one chance at it, so make the best of it and ignore the rest, ignore the hate. because for 35 years, I kept my silence and tried to live the life of what society was said was right, what religion said was right, what culture said was right, what some of my family members said was right. And I was, you know, in a closet hidden, and I don't want that experience for Z, or I don't want that experience for Ashish. I want him to, you know, learn that there is a struggle in life, but if you work hard for it, you know, you will have that, what you want.
See, so what was it like to sit here and listen to your mother weep, and we all wept beside her, and your teacher praise you about being in a place that he wasn't at when he was in school? What was it like to receive that, that these adults are bestowing you with all kinds of praise?
It feels, like, amazing. I love when people tell me they're proud of me, because, you know, like, the intrusive thought in the back of the head is, like, no one's proud of me. No one is going to see who I am. In all honesty, it kind of made me tear up when Munoz cried, because I can't really, like, I've never seen him really cry before. And so it kind of made me tear up and had to, like, look away from him. Because hearing from, like, you or Munoz or my mom or, like, even my dad, it's like a gift that I can't hold, but it'll be in here and in my head. It'll be in my heart. I just love them so much. And just hearing that and knowing that makes me feel ecstatic.
Speaking of proud, you have a mother and a teacher and your Freedom Rider family here, but you have the superintendent of one of the largest school districts in all of California, Dr. Martin Rex Cazziora. And what is it like to have someone who is in charge of a school district that has almost 35,000 kids sitting beside you and celebrating you?
It's big. Like I don't know how to put into words, because he's very stressed and takes care of a lot of things and people and just places, tons of places to be. We're very lucky to have him in this room right now. Comes from like a place in my heart that he's just super important. He advocates for people. He reminds me of like a bull, kind of. He's very resilient, especially with all these bricks I keep knocking him down. But he's like, nope, I'm not coming down. And I don't think he ever will, because he's so strong. And I thank him for that.
Jeremiah, you and Roberts were at a workshop. And I'll never forget it. Freedom Riders were doing a workshop, and one of the Freedom Riders, Sue Ellen, who's on the cover of the Freedom Riders Diary, just started crying. It was so authentic. And you just got up in the middle of this workshop, and at that time, she was 2 feet taller than you, and you just gave her a bear hug. And at that exact moment, in walked your superintendent, Dr. Martin Rex Cazziora, and a group of board members. And in that moment, I thought, this is perfect. You couldn't script this any better. And I love that at that moment, you didn't have a care in the world. You just needed those people in power to see what love looks like. So for you, what does love in action look like?
What love looks like to me is giving that person that you love, like, that amount of attention and that amount of affection that person's going to be giving you, even though, like, they're hurting inside. You gotta make sure they're feeling okay, even though you're not feeling okay. And what I want people to understand is love comes from around the world. You know, like, even though we have different races, you know, different religions, you know, different, like, type of things that go around, I just want everybody to know that you'll always be loved. You don't have to always feel alone, because there's going to be someone that's right next to you that's going through something. So, to me, love is just like another way of living.
Dr. Cazziora, you said yes to a project that we didn't know would develop into a book. We just wanted to reach kids that were socially isolated, kids that were home, kids that were scared that they weren't going to return to school, kids that didn't have the ability to come and have a breakfast with their classmates. There was a grab and go at a curb so they could still have breakfast and lunch. And you allowed us into your schools, into your classrooms, to work with your teachers and students. And because of that, this book really has its roots right here in Moreno Valley Unified School District. What does it feel like to be sitting beside these teachers, these beautiful mothers, and these authors?
Well, I'm in awe. You know, I'm so glad I came in here and sat down. I didn't know what was going to happen with when you did this or when you're doing this. I never know what's going to happen.
Neither do I. Yeah. we make it up as we go along.
But I think having gone to your institute and meeting the Freedom Writers that were in your original class and seeing that they're still connected, part of this, I'm just glad that they're part of this. You know, and I didn't tell them to be. I mean, like, Johnny Munoz wants to do this. You know, these students, I didn't know who was in it, who was doing what, but it's, I'm just really, you know, when somebody talked about being proud, I mean, I don't think there's a prouder moment that I've had.
What I love that you all are witnessing is that it's okay to show emotion. Especially for you young men, it's a sign of strength and perseverance. So with these tears, it's like a blessing. It's like a blessing and a baptism. So what is that like for you young men to be sitting beside educators and superintendents who can emote and show their strength with those tears?
I mean, you can see a lot of emotion on any person's face. And every day you're going to see it. Every night you're going to see it. You know, we don't know what's going on with that, you know, like what's going on in that person's life if they lost someone or had a bad day for the past couple of days. But, you know, the best thing you can do is show your emotion to them and tell them, I feel your pain. To me, you're not alone.
And do you feel like it's okay? I think sometimes there's toxic masculinity that makes young men feel like they have to be tough and they have to build a wall. And I think in this room, there's a lot of tenderness.
I think it's okay for men to cry. Like some people might say, guys don't cry. I know a lot of guys that cry. I seen football players cry, basketball players cry. I even see myself cry. I feel like it's okay for a man to cry.
So I'm going to ask you to thank this gentleman who said yes. Yes, you can come to our school district. Yes, you could write a book. Yes, you can gather your family. And what does that mean to people who've often heard no?
Don't start giving up, because once you give up, there's no way to come back. But once you keep going and you keep telling yourself, I'm going to give up, no, you have to stop yourself and say, I'm going to keep going. And I want to thank Dr. Kenziara for letting me and my best friend be able to go to the symposium and be able to showcase something that our school district really needed, and for everyone to know that there's kids in your schools that can actually do stuff to help your community and help the people around you.
Johnny Munoz, you've met every single Freedom Writer, and you were part of the behind-the-scenes responses. You know, we got 50 letters from 50 kids, and Freedom Writer teachers like yourself and Freedom Writers gathered weekly in Zooms, and we started figuring out who's the right person to respond to Z. Who's the right person to respond to Jeremiah? Who's the right person to respond to Robert? And I think in all of these cases, we nailed it. So since Z is your student and my beautiful Freedom Writer responded to her, what was that like in that process? Because you were in those Zooms and those courageous conversations were happening, and there was really a discussion. Who's going to respond, and how were they going to respond? And when Bunny really stood up and said, it's me, did you feel that Z was going to be in the perfect hands?
Yes. I know me and Z talked before we got into our Zoom sessions. And I told her, go deep, be truthful, be honest, and be the voice for all of us. And when she got into those Zoom sessions, she blossomed and she took the advice that Bunny had for her and she ran with it. And she continued to write to a point where, you know, some of her words were touching me. And as I mentioned before, there was words in there that I've been wanting to say for a long time and I wanted to express to my family and to friends, and now they get to have that opportunity in this book because of her, and her words that she wrote, and she went there, and I'm glad she did. So she was teamed up with the Perfect Freedom Writer, and I was glad to be part of that journey.
And I'm excited for you to share this book with your family. You know, I had the honor and privilege of officiating your wedding. I had the honor and privilege of meeting your family. We've really been connected in some of our most important moments and difficult moments. So what is it going to be like for you to share this book with your mother and father, your sister, nephews and nieces?
They'll get to understand what I've been trying to tell them for the past, 50 years of my life. You know, it was all for a purpose. And, you know, when June 2015, I have to thank our superintendent because he's part of this journey. He's the reason why we're here. And I talk about it all the time. I talk about our superintendent. So they're anxious for this book. They're anxious to read it. And I just texted them before coming here that, hey, you know, I've got a podcast interview here. And they're still in awe. And they're still understanding me. And I'm assuring them that everything is fine. And that I helped my two students put the words into their stories.
So we as educators are like students today. So what does it feel like to school us? What does it feel like to educate us, to say things that we weren't prepared to say as kids or weren't given the freedom to write in classrooms when we were in school? You are lifting and elevating the next generation.
From a kid's standpoint, when you're like a kid and you have a teacher, you kind of really don't think of them as like another person that has like their own lives. It's like weird because when I was younger, I used to think that teachers slept at the school. And so to hear that, you know, my teacher was going through the same thing as me, it took me like aback. Like it was heartbreaking to know that someone else and many other people in the world go through the same exact thing. And, you know, it's just, it's not right. But knowing that I can quote unquote school like adults, I think it's now heartwarming to know that like you and I aren't so different.
So Robert and Jeremiah, I remember walking in on Zooms where like there was like six Freedom Writers all working with both of you on your stories. And I just love seeing the screen. And they wanted to give you advice as if they were coaches or father figures. What was that like knowing that so many original Freedom Writers were so invested in your stories?
To me, it felt like they really wanted us to be something. Like, they really wanted us to be a good person and express our feelings and put it into a book and see that they're not the only one going through something and that they can stay strong through hard times.
There's not much words to say, but they really wanted to show us that they cared and they wanted to help us out, like put in our hard work. It took us almost, I'll say, half the summer to do it. I'm still talking to one of my Freedom Writer buddies, Jaden, and to me, he's like another brother to me, and to me, this is going to be like a dream. I'm still thinking I'm living it, but now it's real.
Robert, what is your advice to a reader?
There's always a person who has like the same feelings as you. There's always a person who's going through like the same thing you're going through. So my advice would be to not hide your feelings.
Mm. See, what is your advice to a reader?
My advice to a reader or anyone out there is to have an open mind while living through life.
Johnny, what is your advice to a reader?
I agree with Z. Have an open mind when you read this book and understand that these stories walk into our classrooms. As teachers, we've got these stories coming into our classrooms, and they come in and they go out. And to the student authors as well, that teachers also have their own stories, and that we work together to build this world and create this love and this environment that we desperately need right now.
Dr. Kedzior, there is a lot of emotion at this table with your teachers, your beautiful mothers, and your students. So what is your advice to a reader who picks up this book?
You know, I'm so glad I came in here because it just gave me a lot of relief, I guess, to hear them, because it's truly an investment that we've made here in people. But I think that's why it's so valuable, because when we wrote our new vision statement for the district, one of the things I said was, when we write this, we're going to live it. We want to empower our students to become future ready and positively impact the world. Well, we have prepared them to be future ready, and they are positively impacting the world. We're doing this for the community, for the board, for people, for mankind, you know, humanity. People talk about test scores and other measures, but when I'm listening to all of you, it's really validating to be part of this, to be in this room right now. So I want to thank you.
You know what I love is I, on my side of the table, I'm hearing a from the mamas. What is your advice to the reader?
First, I want to start by telling Jeremiah, I am so proud of you. For any parent, my advice would be to pay attention to your child and to listen to them. Take that time to sit with them, hug on them, love them, let them know, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm here for you. Open up that line of communication where they can talk to you about anything so they can get it out. Because the longer that you hold it in, it festers, it hurts, it eats at you. So my advice to the students, let it out. And for the readers, just soak it all in. And maybe that'll encourage a mom, a dad, a sister, a brother to go to their family member and find out what's really going on and what's really wrong with them.
I'm so grateful to our student authors, their supportive parents, and those empathetic educators for sharing with us the power of the pen. My dear listeners, may we learn to see past prejudice. May we strive to build bridges, not walls. And in honor of the authors of Dear Freedom Writer, may we all give a voice to the voiceless. That concludes our show this week. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and thank you for being a part of the Freedom Writer family. If you'd like to learn more about our new book, Dear Freedom Writer, Stories of Hardship and Hope from the Next Generation, please go to the episode description in your podcast app and click on the link in our show notes. Once again, I'm your host, Erin Gruwell. This episode was produced and edited by Matt Martin Hall and Rob Falk. Until next time, dear listeners, may you write what needs to be written and tell what needs to be told.